amplifier votre passion pour la guitare pour quelques euros par mois. Rendez-vous sur lachaineguitare.com. Amplify your passion for the guitar for a few dollars per month. Head over to theguitarchannel.biz. Welcome to the Guitar Channel. I am super happy to welcome you a new live interview on Lachaine Guitar on the Guitar Channel. I have on the other side of the Zoom connection the one and only Nick Huber from Nick Huber Guitars. Nick, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I think we have one more day for Christmas, so I'm ready to see. Well, I see them every day anyways, my family, but I'm good.
Okay. Excellent. It is really a pleasure to be able to do that. So we are going to talk, of course, about the pandemic and so on. But can you tell us, can you do the short introduction about what you are doing basically at Nick Huber Guitars?
Yes. My name is Nick. I'm obviously owning a guitar company called Nick Huber Guitars, which is a small guitar company. My team we are 12 people. I mean, everybody, including part-time, is here. We're making guitars. Next year, we have our 25th anniversary, so I'm one of the old guys in this industry.
Okay. Congratulations.
I was a rookie, now I'm the old guy.
Okay.
That's cool. So yeah, next year, 25 years making guitars, and what else? I'm happy to be able to build guitars every day because it's still my favorite hobby. And I'm very blessed with a very talented and dedicated team of great people. And there's so much more we want to do and to achieve. There's lots of things coming up in 21. So that's us.
Excellent. It is really, again, I'm very happy to be able to do that. We recorded, I lost count about how many times I did an interview with you, but always it's a great pleasure because I think you are really bringing something special to the guitar community. So tell us, what is the impact of the pandemic on your business? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it business as usual?
We're wrapping up this year as the best ever we had. I think that would have happened even without COVID. It would have been a good year.
Okay.
Since we launched a new model, we do this since quite a while, since I said, and we have a great dealer network around the globe. It's, for me, it's kind of tough to really say what kind of boost was actually boost. I'm talking about the boost, what COVID for us was. We had nobody sick in the team. That's important. We could keep on working through the whole year that we had no lockdown, no shutdown. Of course, we have a lockdown around like everybody has.
Yeah.
I'm missing going to restaurant, but I consider this as a serious luxury problem rather than a big effect on my well-being. Mm-hmm. I'm good. We're good. We can work. We can do what we love every day, and different on musicians that I'm feeling with them. That's a completely different animal. Yeah, but so the whole year was very, very good for us. And what I miss, of course, is traveling. There is, in next January, I will not be in California. The first time in 18 years where I'm not at NAMM. So NAMM is the most important trade show we attend as Nick Huber Guitars. So that's programming a lot of business for the entire year, basically. So that's, and of course, it's not too bad seeing some palm trees and nice sunsets in general.
Definitely.
Wearing board shorts. But yeah, I miss that. But again, it's a luxury problem. I think we proved, and I heard that you stated this as well, that many great colleagues we have in this guitar making industry are doing similar well, and it seems that we can, let's say, at least survive a year without going to trade shows. I don't know if I can survive another year not seeing the ocean. That's
okay. That's something else.
There's no negative impact, except I see friends and customers being out of work, basically. Mm, mm,
mm. You usually go to many guitar shows each year, so I guess this year it was just the Winter NAMM, and that's about it for you?
Say it again, this year, what the show I will miss now?
No, for 2020, you went to the Winter NAMM, and that's it, right?
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, still. Yeah, Nambu head. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think of the online edition of some guitar show? Is it actually worth it? Is it working? Or do you think the organizers are still trying to come up with a good solution to create really something, or it's not worth the money?
That's I'm the definitely wrong person to speak to, because we have not attended any online trade show so far. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say anything bad about it. We or pretty much myself, we decided to not attend the last possible online show, because we just were up to here in work and things we wanted to do. And a trade show for me is, yes, showing, of course, your product and introducing yourself as a person, as a team to the world. But that is, for me, this a trade show is for the personal side, to connect, to find out what is this guy behind those guitars. Is do I want to do business with him just because he maybe makes nice guitars which look nice on pictures? Or does he prove that the guitar is really live in real world, so touching and playing it? And so I'm much behind the live event. Of course, if you cannot, you have to find solutions. And so I'm very happy to have my son Nico in full time in the team since a year, since he finished school. And he's a musician, so he is grounded with gigs. And so they record, they make a new record and all this, but he can give a lot of time to the company. So, and he is, with his 20 years old, he is much into this Instagram game. And he knows where to push the swipe up and the smile and you name it. I use Instagram more than I use Facebook, because I see a lot of things that I'm interested in, well, next to guitars. But definitely younger people are faster and easier to deal with all the social media. Mm-hmm. I'm really sure that you are on spot what's happening with changes and stuff like that. But if you miss a month, you're kind of out of the game.
Yeah.
I really get into that, and there's all of a sudden this button is up there, which is
and
whatever.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was last time we met in Paris a couple of years ago, I was already on Instagram, and I said, you know, Nick, you have to be on Instagram, and I tried to do a quick demo, say, what's that? No, we won't do Instagram, no.
I remember many people telling me, what? I'm on Facebook. Facebook is for the old people.
Yeah. Thank God you saw the light, so everything is good. Thank God you have some sun around you.
But I'm not on TikTok, and I'm not on Snapchat, and I'm not on whatever. I'm not saying that this all doesn't help. I mean, obviously, Instagram and Facebook and whatever there's next to these two platforms, that's helping. That help us share what we do. And I mean, you see what your colleagues are doing. Not so long ago, when I was younger, I had to literally fly 12 hours to see what everybody else was doing, or buy a magazine in a 2-month delay. And now I see in real time what Saul Call is producing. How great is that?
So going back to the guitar show thing, as soon as it is possible to have guitar show, you will go again to exhibit. You are not some of the people who are saying, okay, you know what, there is no Winter NAMM next year, that's good because it is a lot of money and I don't want to go ever again. So as soon as there are some guitar show again, you will go exhibit again.
Yeah.
Okay.
All in.
Okay. I love that. Tell us about the new model you released this year. So the Pete model, what's the story behind it? Do you have one to show us?
You know what? Nico shipped the... I'm assembling guitars right now myself, because Christine right now is out of the team for holiday. And so I finished one yesterday, and we shipped it today.
Okay. You sell too much guitar, too many guitars, Nick. That's good.
and we had one. We had one actually here, which I shipped to a musician to check it out. So I definitely have not one single Pete here, which is a good thing because we got really back ordered, and we just shoot a video with my son together for Instagram. Because we just got another award for that model, and I could not even hold a guitar in my hand. I used the body. Like.
So what's the story behind this model compared to what you have on the catalog?
Well, I think I was more known for the set neck world of guitars, so glued in necks. Yes, we have a Twangmeister since years, which is our Tele kind of approach, and we used to do quite a few bolt-on Dolphin versions. We still do it, but those guitars have never been very present. And what we wanted to see something more on the Fender. I think I can name Fender officially, right? Fender,
yeah, sure.
Is, and I just got me a Fender actually.
My God, don't say that.
Jaguar. I have a Jaguar now. I wanted to add something to the line. And like 10 years ago with the Krauser, usually I'm driven by whatever I would like to see myself. And luckily enough, it proved that it was not the wrongest decision to follow my kind of guts, what I would like to see. On the Krauser, I was into this Les Paul Junior rock theme. Mm-hmm. And I never would have expected that this guitar really overruns us at some point. It's still strong. We're still back ordered for more than a year for the Krauser, which is crazy after 10 years.
Yeah.
Yes, we are still a small company. But so what can we add? What am I missing? And my right-hand guy here in the team, Clemens, is always talking about Jazz Masters. And, of course, we have colleagues here in the guitar world who make great versions of offset guitars, which are very present. Obviously, Dennis Fano's guitars always have been very inspiring to me. Frank Dymel makes a great offset version. Mm-hmm. And there's many Americans, including the bigger ones, including a real Fender Jazz Masters, just a very attractive guitar. And I was thinking about that all the time, but I just did not want to come up with a new body shape, which in our world of guitar making, we're using a CNC. And so a new body shape always is a lot of work. And I want, since the Krauser got so strong, and we have also our Orca model, which is very Les Paul orientated, I want to definitely see my Dolphin form in a more present way. So so the decision was, okay, let's do something in this offset jazz mastery kind of way, mm-hmm. but based on our Dolphin shape. And so then we mixed pretty much everything to the soup.
Okay.
And what came out was the Pete. And at NAMM, we still called it prototype. And since we have also already a model name called after my father-in-law called Riedberg, I like the idea a lot to name it after my younger son, Pete.
Nice.
I mean, my bigger son, my older son, Nico, he was 20, Pete is 18. Nico's with me on trade shows because he plays guitar, he sings, he's a drummer, he's a band, so it's more, and so he just moved himself more into the Mikube guitars world than Pete, who was still in school, who's not finished yet. So let's see what's coming up. I hope I can deal with a work with two sons here in the company. But back to the guitar, it's named after my younger son, Pete.
Nice.
And yeah, it's a bolt-on guitar, and we have been very creative and innovative by using alder for the body and maple for the neck.
Ooh, that's super new. Yeah.
Yeah. And we use rosewood or maple fingerboards, which also is pretty innovative to the guitar, I think.
Never heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, I've never been known for innovative shapes and crazily off the shelf experiments. So, you know, it's always has been the classic recipe, which I usually have been using, maybe next to Polonia, which is something I've never dealt with, and some kind of new wood things, or we have 3D printed bridges implemented. So that's, but on the guitars and the recipes, I kind of pretty conservative.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is going to be the base price of the pit? Is there going to be options, or is that just one model and that's it?
It comes basically in an open pour, which I've never done before, like spraying an open pour sunburst on an alder body. It comes basically for 2,990 base price.
Okay.
And then, of course, then you can have a swampish body. You can have a candy apple finish. You can have a vintage tinted neck. You can have a matching headstock. You can have the mastery bridge, which on this model got mostly ordered. So again, we go more for this jazz master kind of guitar theme. We have a new pickup for the Pete, which is pretty cool looking gold foil appearing P90 bridge pickup,
mm-hmm.
paired with either the same pickup in the neck or a Tele neck pickup, and that works very good. And the fun part was we have just made a handful and we just kept on shipping them to the magazines. And all of a sudden I got feedback like, what? Great. And Dave Bullock from Guitarist and Guitar.com and Guitar and Bass Magazine here in Germany and Grand Guitars in Germany. And all of a sudden we had a lot of raving reviews. And now this December we got 2 awards for Best Gear of the Year. So that, oops.
That's that good.
Was very surprising, and of course, I'm very happy that this guitar was so well received.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And any, would you say this guitar is geared toward more specific genres of music, or not really?
No. Something you have to be aware of, that if as soon as you have a mastery bridge or this jazz master tremolo, you have a long string behind your bridge, and you always have this ambient, some people call it noise.
Yeah.
Jazz master player will tell you this is what you want. That's the deal about it. That makes the guitar sound different. So that was very new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I thought, I cannot deal with this. He calls it out of control noise behind the bridge. And, you know, Frank Diamond puts a pickup under it. How cool is that?
Yeah. And how do you manage the demand coming from the dealer? Because you don't sell direct, right? It's only through dealers, except for the custom project. Is that correct?
Well, we deal together with artists. Of course, we have a very short conversation flow. And honestly, if I have a close friend who wants a guitar, I don't send him to a dealer, of course.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. But the other 99% is through dealers around the world. And we got pretty back or at name already. The guitar was, it was still called prototype. And there was just one with the stopper bridge and one with mastery bridge. And already there we got orders. And now with all the press we had a lot of reviews this year. Again, Corona helped me to focus on this, mm-hmm. make fast to be reviewed. And all this feedback and noise caused demand, and people seem to be sitting home and looking for another guitar to get. So, and it pretty much looks like a Pete was pretty often the choice.
Excellent. Well, that's good. Congratulations for hitting another home run then.
Hopefully it will be a home run. Like right now, we have a hard time keeping up, mm-hmm. But it's not flowing since the guitar is still a bit fresh to us.
Mm-hmm. So you said that it's going to be next year 25 years that you have been building guitars. What has changed in the wood supply you had? Is it much more difficult now to source the wood you use for the guitar? Did you have to go to, you talked about Polonia earlier, did you have to investigate other kind of woods to keep on going? What's your take on that?
Yes and no concerning, is it difficult? I mean, when I started, there was, you know, you can buy a pretty, any kind of growing quilted on Instagram.
Okay. From
an uncountable amount of wood dealers there. So that became easier. And when I started, I had to either have a very good connection to somebody who's sourcing quilted maple, or I have to sit 12 hours on a plane to get it. Now, you just click, and if you are willing to spend X amount of hundreds for this piece of wood, you click purchase, you PayPal, and then again, then 2 weeks later, it comes with USPS from Oregon or Vancouver or whatever. So that, of course, got much easier. The amount of nice woods, maybe paired to the demand. When I started, there was no boutique guitar scene. There was just a handful of people in Germany building guitars, and the term boutique guitar did not even exist. And all of a sudden, everybody was a boutique guitar maker, and the number of builders is countless, which is fine. I get it. I started at once, and I understand why somebody wants to make guitars. I can rely to that. But the amount of companies skyrocketed to my point of view. I cannot even keep up how many German builders we have. I don't know even everybody anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's every time I get a magazine, there's a new German name which I never heard of. It doesn't mean that I'm always checking. Sometimes I just miss the train because I'm not too interested in always spending my free time on guitars. I have other hobbies, and I have a family, I have a wife, I have a dog, I have a cat. So there's other things I like to share my time with. And so I think the whole community got bigger, so the demand for nice wood got bigger, and of course the possible way for wood dealers to show themselves and to sell in bits and pieces. I usually bought bigger amounts when I bought wood. I had to pack a pallet in Vancouver or in California during NEM, and then find out how to get this pallet over to Germany. That all got easier. Of course, restrictions, CITES, which have always been there on Brazilian rosewood, but then we had this issue with East Indian, which was taken off again, so that became easier again. And then we have fumigation laws in America when you buy a piece of wood that it has go to a certain process. So again, for a small dealer, it makes a lot of sense to not buy directly in America.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If the process is not taken serious on the other side, you could run into trouble with German customs or European customs. And then lightweight wood is not easy to actually source for me. But this is also paired to that I make many more guitars than I used to make 25 years ago. If 25 years ago, if I could get 10 pieces, I was covered for a while. If I now get 10 pieces, I'm not covered at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I spent my whole day yesterday in sourcing mahogany and weighing every plank of mahogany to find out which there's a certain weight we don't want to go over unless we go hollow body. So, and that was a whole day of just getting through a really big pile of mahogany.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you talked about the boutique guitar market and so on. So, at what point would you say that Knickerbocker won't be anymore a boutique brand? Is it when you will reach, 20 people, 20 employees, or that many guitars per year? Or because it's easy when you are just alone building the guitar with one or two people, but we never know actually where is the line, and it is a gray area, right?
I think this is just probably the customer has more right to say what is for him a boutique guitar or not. I would not connect this to a certain number of employees. I would rather connect it to quality.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your fulfillment game? I mean, you can make a nice guitar, but still be an asshole if you have a problem with the guitar and don't take care for your customer. If that is that boutique, I don't know. The guitar, maybe. The person and the fulfillment behind it, maybe not. So that, and hard to combine it or compare it probably with car brands or other brands, is is Porsche a boutique car? But and though they make thousands and thousands of cars, more than ever, or Ferrari makes pretty many guitars, more than guitars.
Really?
More than ever, you know. Mm. And I don't know. I never gave me the name boutique guitar maker. I make guitars, and I've also, I also never considered me as now being an artist all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
because I now mix. We make guitars. Maybe it's handwork, art, handwork. But there are very few people, I think, on this planet who can consider themselves as artists in the guitar world. Also, never considered me as an artist, and I never gave me the name boutique. I think that came with all the smaller luthiers forming a community, mm-hmm. and then boutique guitar show, and everybody was exhibiting on a table. Exhibiting on a boutique guitar show, now is a boutique guitar maker. If the quality is there or not, I don't know. I know many colleagues which I consider as friends are spot on in any register, but I definitely saw also companies where I would recommend to maybe go back to the shop and mm-hmm. do your homework for another few years,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or maybe putting yourself next to also like, why is Juha Kangas charging this amount for his guitar and I'm the same? And there is the question again, how long did you do that? And for me, to go back to the boutique guitar name, I think elite comes from repetition and from boutique. Elite comes from overnight. I think that comes maybe in guitar business over decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you've done this 20 years, I think then you can talk about some things. But if somebody tells me, all that is sounding like this, I have made one. I said, okay, I give you a billet. I give you 2-3 billets of Alder from my shelf. One is European, one is American, one is from the other side of America. I promise you 3 different guitars. So how can you state
yeah.
that is like the just state? So I'm pretty defense on that. And for me, boutique and quality is not attached to numbers of employees or even output. If the guitar is outstanding, which also, again, my customer needs to tell me because he has to put the money on the table. I can say, hey, I'm the greatest and I make the best guitar. But if there's no demand, I will probably die alone yeah. at home.
I know that Paul Reed Smith was someone super important at the beginning of your career. You exchanged a lot of information back and forth using the good old fax machine and so on. That's ancient invention that nobody uses anymore. And it's funny because the other day, yeah. The other day, I was watching an interview of Paul. He's doing his what he called long distance call, where everybody is stuck at home, and he did one with John Mayer. And John asked him this very interesting question: say, okay, what could you do if you have an unlimited amount of money for the next project? And he said, well, you know what? I would put money on the table to bring back all the guitars I built from the beginning and to upgrade them to the level of what I am doing at the moment, which was a very interesting thing to say. So if I ask you the same kind of question, what do you think of the guitar you built 25 years ago, and do you want to get them back to upgrade them to what you do at the moment? So what would you do?
I mean, I have a very old Dolphin here around the corner hanging at my wall, which is from early 90s. I think the guitar is from 94. And if you look at the neck shape, if you look at the neck heel, how it's carved, if you look at the inlays, and you would go out with that, I mean, no CNC, of course, but that doesn't judge anything. So I would definitely say, somebody made one of his few first guitars. And if you now take a guitar after, I don't know how many we have done, maybe 3,600, 4,000 guitars we're approaching probably next year.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much repetition and there's so much knowledge behind it. Just to make a proper product, then I would say, yes, you become better. Look at somebody who is playing tennis. I mean, he's not good from the first day. He's becoming better and better the more he practices and the more strikes he takes. And I think you can easily transfer that to guitar making as well. And I completely hear Paul, because if you have this drive to look always, I think Paul also wants to expand his knowledge, his quality all the time. There's no finish line. There's just the horizon. And that resonates a lot with me, because for me, there's also that we're not done. Mm-hmm. We're not done with improving. We're not done with looking for better ways. It could be in how to make a guitar. It could be the material for the bridge. It could be the finish. It could be the how you set the nut and the neck. And there's always more, and there's always better.
Mm-hmm. So you are not running out of ideas for the next 25 years then?
Maybe not for the next 250 years.
Okay.
I'm flooded with ideas.
Okay.
And sometimes my team says, hey, hold it.
The old guy is crazy, you know what? Somebody take care of Nick.
I want this now.
Okay.
I want it now. But Nick, we have a lot of work to do because people are waiting on this guitar and the guitar orders. And yeah, but I want this now.
Mm. Yes, but now. Okay. You're the boss. Do you still play on your Foo Fighters tribute band, Nick?
Right now, no.
No? Okay. Not anymore? No time?
That was my fun rock and roll band. If I would write songs, if I would take the time for writing, that always would be the kind of style I would try to reach for. Not that I want to say that I could write these kind of songs. That's up to my son. But it developed into that my son became the singer and main guy in the band. And I keep that up because it's very precious to be with your son on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Even when everybody looking at your son and not at you.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what? I don't know. I mean, he's doing his thing. He has a record deal. He has a management. They missed a lot of festivals and they're talking about touring with bigger names. So, and if that's going to happen, I will either put the whole project on ice or will wait. And I can easily live without it. I still have my old days top 40 rock band, which I still play with in hotel resorts and on events. And so I still get to play. And but I don't have to live off that. I used to play for a living, which was pretty tough, especially for wife and family. When my kids were small, I was gone every weekend to play in clubs or tents or company events. And so that's that I don't miss. So this full schedule of gigs, I don't miss at all. Mm-hmm. And since this is only hobby and fun for me, again, that's a luxury problem to not play, like going to dinner in a restaurant. I can live without that. Mm-hmm. I'm not living on that. I still make my money. I still see my wife every day, and I still cook if I cook. So it's all for me. That's all good.
Mm-hmm.
So, if what's going to happen with the band, I don't know yet. Let's see. That depends on my son.
Okay. Regarding music, what was the latest discovery you made? What is still exciting to you in the music? What's on your Spotify top list?
Attention, I don't have Spotify.
Okay.
You know what? Lately, I've mainly listened to content which is learning in personal and business growth.
Okay. So podcast, that kind of stuff?
Podcast, seminars, audiobooks. I have more time on Audible than I have actually on listening to music. The last record I liked most was the last one of Adam Miller.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The Australian guitar player. And yeah, he's playing one of your guitar, Rick Bergen. Yes.
And that's the CD I have in my car. That's, if I'd go and switch on, that's always going. My way from home to job is only 3 kilometers. So that's barely one song.
Okay.
But since weeks, Adam's record is in my CD player in the car. I still have a CD player.
Yeah, I love Adam's work. I was able to do a couple of interviews with him, even once when he was in Paris, and we did an interview right here in the showroom. And I love his touch when he plays the acoustic or the electric guitar. And we did an interview during the lockdown. It was a couple of months ago now, around the release of his album. So yes, I agree with you. It's a great music.
Another record from friend of mine called Jochen Schrumpf is also using our guitar, so that's another album I have to listen to. This is going to the car tonight.
Okay. No more Adam Miller.
And you know what, and then usually I get the most music content I get through my son. Mm-hmm. He let me know if something is hot. Mm-hmm. And we have kind of a similar taste. He's very diverse. How do you say that?
Diversified, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he is extremely into jazz. He likes John Mayer, but he also likes alternative, which he mainly does, is alternative rock and roll. He's a very good jazz guitarist, so so he always brings up stuff I've never heard of.
Mm-hmm. Before we started the interview, we talked about Juha Rokangas, the Finnish guitar builder, who also celebrated his 25th birthday, like you will, next year. And I was saying that I was very happy that Juha finally started his podcast. And I am very proud about that, because I tried to kick his ass many times to do it. So, Nick, why don't you start a podcast yourself? I mean, you must have plenty of cool guitar stories to share and cool guests to have on your show.
We have talked about that really frequently, and when I was in a kind of entrepreneur coaching for 3 days which was streamed from California in the last week, and we had this big Zoom group, and we have these outbreak rooms, and there were people like you sitting on those fancy microphones with a proper setup just in front of my little laptop. Well, maybe it's time to level up. And I listen to podcasts again, mainly. I know that our good friend Matt Blades is doing this Guitar Blah Blah podcast, which is really nice and beautiful. Beautifully made podcast, Guitar Blah Blah. You should actually check it out. I think he's podcasting every day right now. And I think I have a lot of stories in 25 years, especially if
for sure,
you know, trade show memories, especially with my friends. And
I would love to hear those stories.
I mean, we could probably speak many. We could do many versions of a podcast. You know, I don't even have a YouTube channel yet. So it's not because I don't want to. And I'm also very tempted to do that, but I'm busy like crazy.
Mm.
We are back ordered and have guitars to build. And there's so much. I have a team of 10 people. And like I said, I have a family life, which is very important, more important than ever. I kind of didn't look at my family as good when I started, because there was this non-being a good businessman behavior, which was not so cool back in the day. So that is also my biggest advice to every young man or woman if they start a business. You know, to make a guitar at some point, it's not a big deal. It's wood, it's glue, it's repetition. Like I said, we're not wizards. We're just guitar makers, come on. But making a living and being happy and being not burned out and don't have the frustrated wife at home who's pointing fingers at you, and she's right by not, how the fuck are you not getting your day together by working 18 hours and not getting some money at home? So there's the challenge. There you should scale up.
Mm-hmm.
Guitar, that works at some point.
Amen. I love that conclusion. Nick, it was great to be able to do this live, and hopefully next time maybe you will come to visit me here in the Paris showroom or at the next guitar show. Let's cross finger for 2021, and good luck for the rest of the adventure. Congratulations for releasing the Pit, and which is very successful, it seems. So, and that's about it. Thank you very much again for your time, Nick.
Thank you so much for having us and for having us. Did I say us? It's me.
Okay.
Thank you for having me. So I think it's Christmas tomorrow, right? So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all the best on the next year, and we see on the next trade show, Pierre.
All right.
Let's talk again. Let's have a chat again.
Thank you very much. And if you want to have even more content about the guitar, don't hesitate to go to theguitarchannel.biz and subscribe. You know, The Guitar Channel is the Netflix for guitar player, guitar junkies, with plenty of cool interviews with crazy guys like this bearded German guitar builder, Nick, and many, many more. Also, lots of interviews with musicians from Adam Miller to, I don't know, to You Are Rock on Gas and people like that. So, again, thank you very much for the time, and Nick, and we'll see you somewhere in 2021. All right?
Over to Pierre.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Au revoir.
Bye.
Pour le prix d'un magazine, abonnez-vous à la chaîne Guitare pour accéder aux vidéos intégrales. For the price of a magazine, subscribe to The Guitar Channel to access the full videos.